Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
So today, I really felt strongly to talk to you about our calls as Christians. But so often within church, and even in the world, we're encouraged to find our purpose, and we're always looking for what is our destiny, what is our call, what's our reason for existence. God, tell me, I need to know what I'm meant to do with my life. And we focus so much, and I've been guilty of it, of finding our call. But today I want to speak to us about the caller and looking to him. And God's spoken to me really clearly over the last couple of months, particularly at conference. I had a bit of a moment, weren't we all a hot mess? For those of you that were at our revival conference. But as I wrote it all down in my journal and processed what God had been showing me, he asked me to share it all with you. And I'm going to be very vulnerable with you today and share with you some of the things that God showed me so personally, because I felt that it was for us and our house as well, and for so many of you in this room. So is that okay? So I want to share with you a story, and it was in week two of conference, and Hayley Braun, who heard Hayley Braun speaking from Bethel Church, that as she was just sharing about her own journey, it was nothing particular she said, but I found myself weeping as she was preaching, because the words she was speaking I related so much to in my own story. And as she was talking about what God had asked her to do, and she felt so insignificant and not sure if she was the right person for the job, we all know what that feels like. I found myself in the middle of her sermon in the front row, on my knees in repentance, crying to God, because I'd realized that I'd been telling him, and it's okay if I cry, because we've had chats and it's okay, God knows. I realized in that moment that I'd been telling God time and time again that what I'm doing in my life right now in this season isn't my dream. And I was mad at him, because this isn't my dream. What I'm doing doesn't seem to be my dream as a young girl. I didn't wake up one morning and say, I want to be a pastor of a church. And I'm sorry if that worries some of you, I'm okay. I'm on a journey. But I'm sharing my true heart with you because I'm hoping that God meets you. That as I was on the floor crying to God in repentance, I realized I had it all wrong. That when we say to our God that we are here on earth to serve him, and we ask God to come into our heart, we actually forfeit the right to choose what our dream is. That no longer is it my or what I want, that we are here for him and him alone. And yes, he loves when we dream. He loves when we make Pinterest boards. He loves when we write out to-do list. He loves when we write out what we want in a husband. He wants us to dream. He truly does. But as we draw closer to him, he will show us more of his heartbeat, more about him. And in that moment of repentance, I realized, who am I? Who am I to say to the God of the heavens, my creator, that this is not what I wanted? This is not my dream. And For those of you that don't know, my background is visual merchandising. I'm a creative, marketing, styling. It's my background. I literally got trained at university on how to make things look good so people will want to buy them. That's my background. I also married an accountant. And he's no longer. It's still the same man. But he got called to become a pastor. Doesn't God have a great sense of humour? But I realised I was repenting for trying to run my own race without him in it. And in that moment on the floor, it was like he broke off striving and pressure, really of trying to figure out my own call. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. I'll give you a minute. Hebrews 12, 1 to 2. Therefore, it'll come up on the screens behind me. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. You see, so many of us find repentance painful, and yes, it can be. But repentance is the key to change. Repentance equals hope and freedom from things that are binding us in the wrong direction. Repentance is turning away from things that are not of Him. And as our founder, as our maker, our calling comes from Him. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And who are we to think we know better, hey? We all do it. So some of you may know that I'm not a very sporty person. I'm as girly as they come, and I've never really been interested in sports. So much so when Steve and I started dating, I was very clear to tell him, I am not for AFL, I will not go to games, I will not support him, I will not watch him watching it. And I am not interested in football. Some of you also might know that I've had two sons. Yep. And one of our boys, our firstborn son, lives and breathes football. Not just his team, Geelong Cats, but he has a podcast. He is seven. He has a podcast about tipping for football. He has so many footballs that we now can't find any because they're over every fence that circles our house. He lives and breathes football. And 2 weeks ago, on a Wednesday of all days, I found myself in a park kicking a football with my son. It's not the first time, don't get too excited. But isn't that a beautiful picture of how when we love something, we want to know more about it? Because I am a mother of a boy that loves football, for me to draw closer to him, I need to understand what makes him tick, what makes him smile, what brings him joy. And as he teaches me how to handball and how to kick correctly and how to kick a torpedo. No, I can't show you. God spoke to me in that moment about how it is to love something so much that you actually don't care about the thing you used to hate because you're drawing closer. And just quickly, another little story, because I know you'll love this one. Steve's freaking out. When Steve was trying to woo me. Your pastor. I still do, but I used to have Cuban salsa lessons and love to dance. I still love to dance, but back then I was going quite regularly with a dance crew and just loving to learn to dance. And as we met, Steve can dance, but not Cuban. And so he had dance lessons with a friend to get to my level of intermediate so that he could dance with me. He even had private lessons so that he could reach... Everyone say, "Oh." Reach my level of dancing so we could learn and dance and grow together. He even put a playlist together privately by himself of all the songs that I love so he could engage with the artists that I love to listen to and learn what music I love to listen to. Isn't he the best? But what a beautiful picture of drawing close to something, someone that you love, to understand more about them. It might not be your interest, it might not be something that drew you straight away, but because of the love that you have, you draw close. Sometimes, guys, God needs us to do things out of our comfort zone. He is using us as vessels to get it done. He has so much for us to do on earth. To bring heaven to earth, he needs each one of us. And yes, he will use our gifts. Yes, he will use our skills. But he has more for us. He wants to grow us even more into the person he created us to be. So we need to be open and willing to listen. Sometimes we just need to shut up. So after that moment, listening to Hayley Braun on the carpet, after I picked myself up, a day later I decided to journal about my experience and try and reflect on what God was saying, because how many people know that an encounter is just a seed and the beginning of something in your life, whether it be a change or moving forward into what God's asking you to do. And as I began to journal, a lot of you know I'm a big fan of journaling and putting my prayers on paper, but it was the most beautiful moment as I felt the Holy Spirit lifted the pen out of my hand and began writing in my journal for me to show me what he wanted me to understand from that moment on the carpet. I realized I'd been searching for a path, a walk, a defining moment, my purpose, my definition, my claim to fame, what to be known for, what to be seen for. Morbid, I know, but what would be on my tombstone? What would be spoken at my eulogy? I found myself focusing on what was my point, searching for a treasure. And he showed me this incredible picture. And it gets me emotional every time I think of it because it was so real. As I was journaling, he literally showed me a picture of me walking on a quest. Like an Indiana Jones film. Any Indiana Jones fans here? There's a new one just come out. How is he still going, Harrison? Seriously. Whew. But I was on a quest, on an expedition, like a great adventurer searching for my call, for my big purpose. And as I was in this picture, I saw my beloved companion, my God, my best friend beside me. Because I don't want to go anywhere where he is not. My whole life I have lived for him. But I realized that he even had a hat on, a safari hat. He was playing the part that I'd cast him in as a fellow adventurer walking as I looked for a treasure that I would never find because he was standing right next to me. You see, I was on a quest to find meaning and purpose and fulfillment in what he needed me to do for the kingdom, when you, Lord, were the treasure all along. The point was, I'd been looking at the wrong way the whole time, because he is the point. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all the things of the earth, all the things we need here on earth will be added to us. But we seek him first. If you can turn with me to Mark chapter 12. Verse 30 to 31. A passage we all know well. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Come on, let's read it with me. With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than this. The disciples were asking Jesus, out of all the commandments, what is the greatest? It's just typical of something that we would do. Well, there's so many. What's the greatest? What's the most important? I see myself constantly in the lives of the disciples, hey? We shall love the Lord our God with all we have, but it comes first. I've been reading this incredible book by a journalist in America who's a Christian, Paula Farris. She has a book called Called Out, Why I Traded Two Dream Jobs for a Life of True Calling. She says, as Christians, it's time to have a much bigger conversation about calling. Calling isn't just about vocation. It's way more holistic than that. It's not what you do, it's who you've been created to be. A follower of the living God who shares his love with a hurting world. And when we come to understand this truth, we see our true identity. We are representatives of the living, loving God. She goes on to say this, I believed this, the God who called me to be a reporter would equip me to be a reporter instead of believing this. The God who called me to love God and love people would equip me to express that love through my vocation, whatever my job happened to be. Isn't that incredible? So many times I've asked God, what was the point of going through that season of pain? Why did you want me to go work at that workplace that was actually really hard? Why did you send me here? What was that season about, God? And I remember many, many years ago when I was asking just these questions, he showed me this incredible thing. And he showed me people from every workplace that I have been with, that I have worked for. But someone that is in my life still to this day from each and every workplace that I have befriended and loved, some of my best friends in the world that have come from university, from work, from different workplaces, that maybe, just maybe, you are where you are right now, not for your sake, but for the people in your workplace. It may not even be about you. How crazy is that? Maybe he is sending and calling us to places in our lives because he has us on assignment to do some things that we may not want to do. And we can ask, why? Why? What was the point of this? He has a point. And it's bigger than us. And it was such a revelation for me because nearly every place I have worked, I have someone that I have kept in contact with and shared the love of God with that was way bigger than me and what I achieved in my time at those workplaces. It's about who we are, not what we do. He cares so much more about our heart. So back to my picture, my great adventure. Jesus, my beloved friend, standing beside me. I realized on reflection that the whole time I'd been walking in this, I had not actually been leading. That he was the lead. He was supposed to be the lead, but I was leading. Matthew 4, verse 19. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now you see in that verse, there's actually an order. He says, "Follow me and I will make you." How many times do we try and lead the way? In my picture that God showed me, I was literally leading the way, saying, "Look over here, Lord. How cool would it be to work here? How fun would it be to do something over here? Oh, come, God, look over here what you created. I would love to help with that." I was taking him on a journey looking for what he had called me to. I was talking to a friend recently and she was sharing with me about the famous passage. It's in Mark where Jesus calls Peter Satan. "Get behind me, Satan," Jesus says. How many times do we focus so much on the fact that Jesus was a little bit offensive? And we forget what he said just before that. Mark 8, verse 33. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Get behind me." Peter was trying to lead. Peter was trying to be in the front. Peter was trying to see things from a different perspective that were not thoughts from heaven. And I just found that so powerful and actually quite groundbreaking that we can see a Bible verse and actually focus in the wrong section, that he is literally got the wrong perspective, and Jesus is teaching us through this. We must follow and obey. So he is our caller. He is the point. He is our lead. But he's also the way. He's the answer to every one of our questions. He is our fulfillment. I wrote in my journal that day, as the pen was taken out of my hands by the Holy Spirit, and wrote, "It isn't what you called me to, or graced me in, or even commissioned me for, that was supposed to fill me. You are." How many times are we looking to the wrong things to fulfill us when He's standing right next to us? And you know, the thing that grieves my heart the most is He is so patient. He waits for us to figure it out. He's not forceful. He's not trying to hurt us. He wants the best for us. But if it takes us 40 years to work it out, He'll wait. He'll wait and show us more and come on this great adventure with us and even dress up for kicks, because He loves us so much. If we can turn to John 14, verse 5 to 6. How good is it opening up our Bibles? I can hear all the pages turning. Thomas said to Him, "Lord, we do not know where we are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." He is the way. In His presence, spending time with Him, sitting at His feet, sitting in worship, seeking His face and just being in His presence, is when He will reveal our next steps. He will speak to us. And you know, sometimes if He's quiet, it's because He just wants us to stay right where we are. How many times do we say, "Oh, I don't like this workplace anymore. I'm not feeling it. I think it's time to leave." And yes, transition is important, and sometimes we do have to leave in different stages and different seasons. God moves us, but we need to listen, because sometimes it's through our flesh that we try and do things in our own strength when He wants to take the lead. He wants for us to just listen and be in His presence. A quote from O.S. Guinness from his book, The Call. He says, "We are not primarily called to do something or go somewhere. We are called to someone. We are not called first to special work, but to God. The key to answering the call is to be devoted to no one and to nothing above God Himself." Calling is not only a matter of being and doing what we are, but of becoming what we are not yet, but are called by God to be. How many destinies are sitting dormant in this room today? How many calls are not being touched with fear of doing it wrong, when no one else can do it the way you can do it, which is why He's calling you to it? We have to be brave, church. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to move and walk in and through us to become something we never thought we could be. We have to say yes. He is our caller, the point, the lead and the way. So as I was on my knees listening to a sermon but having my own God moment, in that very sermon, Hayley Braun said these words. The cost of getting all of God is your surrender. Our kingdom bank is full, but to make a withdrawal, to walk in the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, there is a cost. That cost is a yielded, surrendered, and obedient life. You cannot have the fullness of God when you are still trying to manage your own life. He will not share the throne. He will wait patiently, but he won't share.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.